Thank you for that singing this morning. We're going to continue in our study this morning of Proverbs. And so this morning, titled this message, Guard Your Heart. This will be the sixth theme as we're looking at this topic here. And if you look at heart in the Bible, it appears 949 times in Scripture, the word heart. Now, you wonder what that is. I mean, physically, the heart is a vital organ, pumping blood to the rest of the body, and so it's of utmost importance. It's very vital. But, you know, 949 times in the Bible, 783 times it's seen in the Old Testament, and I'm going to give you four uses of the word, the first four uses in the Old Testament. Genesis 6:5, it says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:6, And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Genesis 8:21, The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Genesis 17:17, Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And so you see those instances in the Old Testament, these references to the heart is not referring to this organ that's pumping blood through the body. The New Testament, it uses the word heart 166 times, and never in the New Testament is it used of this organ pumping blood. Matthew 5:8 says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:28, But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matthew 6:21, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Matthew 9:4, But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? So the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. Proverbs uses the word heart 89 times in the book of Proverbs. So physically, how vital is our heart? Pretty vital, right? And if you don't have a heart, you're not alive. And so the writers of the scriptures use the word heart, and it's used not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, a symbolic sense, to express how vital the heart is. So spiritually, the heart is the control center of thoughts, desires, purposes, and motives. And so when not used in a physical sense, if someone talks about their heart, what do you normally think of? Anyone? What emotion do you think of? Love. Okay, you think of a heart, you think of the emotion of love. Now, although it involves, when you use heart in this way, it involves emotion, but it's more than emotion. And although it involves knowledge and stimuli, it's more than knowledge and stimuli. Although it involves perception, it's more than perception. In use this way, it involves our brain, it involves thinking, it's more than that. And so the heart, when used in this sense, it is the control center, and it involves thoughts, desires, purposes, and motives. And so Proverbs uses it 89 times. We see how many times Scripture references the heart when used, and it's most of the time used in this way. It would be good for us to understand that the heart is of extreme importance. What we understand and know about the heart, not this physical organ that's pumping blood and oxygen to our body, but in the spiritual context that it is the control center of all our thoughts and motives and purposes, it would be good for us to understand more in what God says about the heart, wouldn't it? And we go back to our key verse, the springboard, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's important that we understand what God says about the heart. Because a wise son is the one who fears the Lord. He has a reverence for God based on a relationship with God expressed through submission to God, therefore bringing glory to God. This has been our springboard in Proverbs since we began this study. This kind of son makes a father glad. As a believer, do you want to make your heavenly Father glad? I think we do. All of us would say we do. And so it would be good for us to know what God says about the heart. So let's pray, and we're going to ask God to guide our study this morning. Father, I thank you for your word that is so clear. And we're so blessed to be able to have your word in front of us today, that we can open up and study together corporately. We have the freedom here in this country to do that, and so we thank you for that. But Lord, as we open it up and study, we can be distracted. So I just pray that our focus, our attention would be on your word and what you say about our heart. And as we glean these truths, Lord, help us to apply what we learn, and that you would search our heart. And that you would try our thoughts. And Lord, if there's any uncleanness in our hearts, that would be cared for today. So we can make you glad, so we can better serve you, because you're worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to look at this morning is postures of the heart. When we use this in a symbolic way here, we can look in, and you can have an angry heart. We have looked in Proverbs at the topic of anger, and again, Proverbs doesn't ask if you're angry. It assumes you're angry. We are all angry. We all express anger, and so we can have an angry heart. And if our anger is unrighteous, we destroy people instead of problems. And so we can have an angry heart, and that leads to destruction of people. It leads to bitterness. It leads to strife and hatred. Joseph's brothers had an angry heart. Saul had an angry heart. Proverbs talks about having an anxious heart. Proverbs 12:25. I'm going to go through these quickly. So again, write the references down. Go back to them. Make sure. I'm preaching from the Word. But Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." So you can have an anxious heart, and anxiety in the heart brings a man, it causes depression. You can have a proud heart. Proverbs 21 verse 4, "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin." Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty," or it's proud. "And before honor is humility." Proverbs 28:25, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered." So you can have an angry heart, an anxious heart, a proud heart. You can have a joyful or a merry heart. This is another posture of the heart. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart or a joyful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Proverbs talks about a righteous heart. In Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." You can have a wicked heart. In Proverbs 26:23, "Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross." You can have a lustful heart. Proverbs 6:25, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." And so you can have lust in your heart. You can have a lustful heart. Proverbs talks about a perverse heart. Proverbs 6:14, "Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord." Proverbs 11, verse 20, "Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight." And these are just a few postures of the heart. So you can have, when it comes to the control center, your thoughts, your desires, your motives, all these things combined, the control center, what is the posture of your heart? And these are just a few. I encourage you to go through Proverbs and write down different postures of the heart. But I want to look at the centrality of the heart. And there's two sides to this when we consider the centrality of the heart. And here's the first side is this: the heart produces action. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." So you can look in you go to a lake and it's calm, and you can look in there, and as the water reflects your face, so your heart reflects who you are. That control center and what is in your heart will come out in action. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. The heart produces action. It reveals who the man is. The eye goes only where the heart has already gone. Okay, the eye goes only where the heart has already gone. And so, what I dwell on. Okay, a glance is unfortunate, but what I gaze on that because of what? What's already in my heart. Okay, so what I dwell on, what I gaze on, is already in the heart. I already mentioned the mouth, but the mouth says only what has already been considered in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of my mouth is what's in my heart. Couple of you are awake. What comes out of my mouth is already in my heart, right? The control center. And so we see the centrality of the heart. The eye goes only where the heart has already gone. The mouth says only what has already been considered in the heart. The feet go only where the heart has already gone. You go back to Proverbs 5 through 7. He's telling this young man, don't go near her house. Okay, if he knows the adulterous woman lives there, why are his feet there? Because his heart has already gone there. And so the feet go only where the heart has already gone, and the hands do what the heart has already devised. And so we see the centrality in the heart in that the heart produces action. What's in my heart is going to come out in my mouth, or where my feet go, or what my hands do, or what I gaze upon. But there's a flip side to this, and the heart is the depository of everything we see, hear, learn, and experience. I'll give you an example. Say I'm driving down Highway 2, I'm heading towards Grand Rapids, I'm driving along and I glance over, there's a billboard, and this billboard has a half-dressed woman on there, and I look over and I see that. Where is that deposited? You with me? It's deposited in the heart. And so, an unfortunate glance can be deposited in the heart and produce action. That's why we need to take every thought captive. Okay, because an unfortunate glance can be deposited in the heart and produce action. So an unfortunate glance, that has to be taken captive. That thought has to be taken captive. That's why Dr. Jim Berg in Sunday school is saying, track your thoughts. What are you thinking on? David, King David, he should have been at war, of course, but he's out on the balcony. He glances over, he sees Bathsheba. What he saw was deposited in the heart, and it resulted in committing adultery and murder. And so what we see, what we hear, what we learn, what we experience, the heart is the depository of everything that we see, everything we hear. And a song, you know, you maybe used to sing it in Sunday school, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see," right? Because it's deposited in the heart. And I think of kids, and how much do we have to protect our children? What they see and hear and do, where they go. And so the centrality of the heart produces action, but also everything we see, hear, and do is deposited in the heart. And so we see then that there's a battle in the heart. This battle, the heart, when used in this sense, the heart is the meeting place between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, because every believer is permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And so the heart, when used in this sense, it's the meeting place between the flesh and the spirit. And I'm not saying, and again, remember, I'm not talking about a little organ. You know, you hear people say, ask Jesus into your heart. It's not a little G.I. Joe guy in your organ that's pumping blood. And so there's a battle that's going on in the heart. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, do we still have a propensity to sin? How many here are perfect? Nobody. Because we still have that propensity to sin. Even you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but we're still prone to wander. You see, let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, you see this conflict that's going on. And I think it's verse 18. Look at verse 18. In fact, I'm going to go back to verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And this battle that goes on. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of you battle with sin? I do. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, but I can either submit to the Spirit. I can yield to the Spirit or to my flesh. And so we have this battle that's going on in the heart. How are we going to, what are we going to yield to? You know, I have a message that's written on my whiteboard in my office, and it doesn't get erased. It's been there since I hung the whiteboard. And it says this: the greatest dangers in life live inside of me, not outside of me. The greatest dangers in life live inside of me, not outside of me. What's the greatest danger in my life? What's the greatest danger in your life? The greatest danger in my life is my heart. That's the greatest danger. Nobody's going to hold me down and pour a bottle of whiskey down my throat. Nobody's going to hold me down and shove a needle in my arm. Nobody's going to hold me down and stuff a magazine in my face. Why do we do those things? It's what's in the heart. And what does James say? We're drawn away by our own lusts and enticed. Where does the lust come from? It came from the heart. Where did ungodly communication come from? Out of the abundance of the heart. So the greatest danger in life lives inside of me, not outside of me. The greatest danger for you and me is our heart. And that's why in Scripture we have these commands. That's why it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. We have this battle going on in our heart. That's why we're told to keep our heart with all diligence. That's why we see in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's why in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, we see, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Why? Because we are prone to wander. And I need to guard my heart with all diligence because there's a battle that's going on in my heart. And what's in my heart will produce action. That's why we have the commands in Colossians 3, as Marvin read that. Put off these things. Put these things off. And put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you have the commands in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a battle. That's why in Proverbs 5 through 7, this warning, don't go near the adulterous woman's house. That's why we're told in Matthew to set our affection on things above. That's why we're told, that's why Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts. That's why in Philippians 4:8 we're told to think on whatever is good, lovely, honest, and of good report, to think on those things. Because we have this battle that's going on. Because what we see is deposited in the heart. We need to be like the psalmist. And the psalmist cried out. He said, search me, O God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's in our heart? What have we been thinking on? What's been deposited in the heart? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And then David in Psalm 51, let's turn back there, and this is a psalm David wrote as he confessed his sin of adultery. Psalm 51, 10 through 19. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And of course, this is an Old Testament context. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Create in me a clean heart. Ask God to search your heart. To try your thoughts. And then like David, when sin is pointed out, and any wickedness that's in your heart, create in me a clean heart, O God. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know that's used for to share the gospel with unsaved people. I believe that's written to believers. It's not for salvation, it's fellowship. But create in me a clean heart, O God. And so the so what this morning here is guard your heart. Guard your heart. You know, we all have these material things that we guard. We have these things that we protect. Maybe it's a car. Maybe you have a new car and you're out there and you're protecting that car. You're making sure it's not getting scratched Or maybe it's an antique like Kenny has, and if I park next to it, he doesn't want me dinging the door into his car. We protect that. We guard it. Or maybe at home you have some jewelry or cash and you put it in a safe and you guard it and you protect that. How much more important is it for us to guard our hearts? How much more important is it that we guard our hearts over all these material things that we hang on to? But how do we do it? How can I guard my heart? I'll give you a few ways here this morning. First of all, recognize the treasure. Recognize the treasure. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, look at this treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What a great treasure that is. Far more valuable than your car, your money, your jewelry, or any other possession you have. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. What a treasure! God is your shield. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters in your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Isn't that a great treasure? Recognize the treasure that we have if we guard our heart. I mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? He'll direct your paths. He'll make them straight. What a great treasure that is. Proverbs 4:4, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live the good life. I'm not talking about prosperity and you're never sick or nothing ever goes wrong, but following the Lord, and we could ask for testimony here today, living a life pleasing to God, it might or it will have trials. But is it the good life? Marvin, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but is it the good life? It is, isn't it? Serving the Lord's the good life. Guarding your heart's the good life. Recognize the treasure. Prioritize the task. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. Keep it with all diligence. Make it top priority. You know, people make bucket lists. I want to do this before I die. I want to do that before I die. I want to do this and I want to do that. We have bucket lists. We have to-do lists. What should be the top priority? Guard your heart with all diligence. Prioritize the task. You know, we make sure we have time to hunt and fish and go to the gym. We check Facebook, watch movies. We do this, we do that. But do we guard our heart? Are we prioritizing the task of guarding our heart? Recognize the treasure, prioritize the task, eliminate the trash. How do we eliminate the trash? How much trash comes from without? Remember, the heart's the depository of all we see, hear, and do. What kind of trash is being deposited in our heart on a daily basis? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Where are you going? What kind of influence do you have on your life? Get rid of the trash. Because your heart is the depository of everything that you see and hear and do. And get rid of the, the garbage from within, because we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we might have an unfortunate glance, but what are you going to do? You got to take every thought captive. David, it may have been an unfortunate glance, but the glance turned to a gaze. How about Lot? Lot lifted his eyes towards Sodom. And before long, he's in Sodom. And what happened with Lot? He lost his wife. There's incestual relationships. He vexed his righteous soul because he didn't guard his heart. We have to eliminate the trash and then saturate with truth. Again, in Proverbs 2, receive my words, treasure my commands, incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. And you walk through this and you see God's word, the knowledge of God. Where are we going to get knowledge? The knowledge of God. Where are we going to get it? It's from his word. I need to be saturated with truth. Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I was talking with Clarence this morning, talking about the importance of being in God's word. When we were out in Wisconsin, we were at Faith Baptist Church there in Pembine, and they flew this guy in, and he had the entire book of Hebrews memorized. And so they brought him in on a Sunday morning. He stood up front, didn't have a Bible in his hand, and I started out, I opened my Bible to make sure he didn't miss a word. But he got through part of chapter 1, and I closed my Bible, and there wasn't a dry eye in that entire church as we listened to the Word of God. Can anyone take the book of Hebrews from him? No. Because it's in his mind. He had it memorized. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Saturate yourself with the word of God. I've shared this before, but when I graduated from high school, my mom and dad, or my grandma and grandpa Feldbaum, got me a Ryrie Study Bible. They got it for all the grandkids. I was the last one on the list. I got this Bible. Came in a box, had gold edges on it. So they got me the Bible, and in the front of it, my grandma wrote, she wrote, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I didn't open that Bible, other than I saw the front cover, for 2 years. It stayed in a box, the gold edges stayed on the pages were stuck together, and I lived in sin. Finally opened that book, and I couldn't get enough of it, wore it out. Do I still sin? Yeah. By God's grace, I sin less. And by God's grace, I'm still growing. How do we guard our heart? Saturate yourself with truth, the truth of God's Word. Be in His Word. Memorize it, study it, apply it. Recognize the treasure, eliminate the trash, saturate with truth, study, memorize, apply. And I couldn't think of a T here, but ask God to search and rescue. So if you can think of a T, you can tell me after. Search and rescue. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Search my heart. Is there any wicked way in me? Try my thoughts. What am I thinking on? What am I dwelling on? And then create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Are we guarding our heart? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Make it top priority. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. Make it top priority. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the depository of everything we see, hear, and do. And it will reveal who we really are. Guard your heart. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. The reminders to me this week. Lord, we're prone to wander. We still battle the flesh. But I praise you, Lord, that the believer has the Holy Spirit who permanently indwells us. He enlightens us, convicts us, guides us, leads us. And so, Lord, we can have victory in life over these things. We can yield to the Spirit and walk to the cadence of the captain and have the good life, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray, first of all, today that would be each one of our desires, that we would desire to guard our hearts. I pray that our prayer would be like the psalmist, that you would search our hearts, that you would try our thoughts. And Lord, where change needs to take place, I just pray that you would create in us a clean heart for your glory, for your honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brian.